Our presenters today are Thomas Keller and Peter Braun. Thomas Keller is an initiator of the Berlin Airlift 70 and an independent M&A consultant. Thomas Keller is also an ex-paratrooper and lives and works in Hamburg, Germany. Peter Braun is an initiator of the Berlin Airlift 70 and an independent management consultant. Peter Braun works in Groningen, the Netherlands, and is a specialist in aircraft types and their history. He's also an ex-paratrooper. I welcome you both. We're very glad to have you here present today, and I hereby give the microphone to you, Thomas.
Hi, Sandra. Good evening to everybody, and I hope you can read me very well. First of all, Sandra, thank you and the team of Embry-Riddle very, very much for setting up this webinar and well, giving us this grand opportunity to present the Berlin Airlift 70. We are very proud to have Embry-Riddle as cooperation partner on this exciting project. And when we started this project in summer 2016, we really didn't know what a great experience we were going to have, well, including goosebumps. And meanwhile, approximately 100 team members in the US and in Germany are working on this Berlin Airlift 70 project. As you mentioned today, Peter and me will try to give you a brief overview of the plannings and the events in June 2019. Our friend Jörg Siebert, who is the third initiator of Berlin Airlift, is nearly sitting next to us at the Isle of Föhr and giving us a great advice. Well, before I start with the presentation, talking about the Berlin Airlift, the historic Berlin Airlift in general, is talking about a very unique story of help, humanity, courage, friendship, and everything summarized in a special notion called what we call it the Berlin Airlift spirit. Going back to 1948, I think we should start with this before we go to the project next year. In 1948, Germany was still under the consequences of the Second World War. And many cities, as the city of Berlin, were just devastated. The people were living in cellars, children were playing in ruins. The normal life was coming back slowly, but there was still an undefined curtain between the Germans and the former Allied troops. Martial law was applied, but everything changed when the blockade began, and for the western part of the Berlin, former enemies became friends. To summarize the Berlin Airlift in a very brief words, is the Berlin Airlift was and still is the most spectacular and largest relief operation in history. It was up to date, what we call an organizational masterpiece and an impressive demonstration of humanitarian support and adherence. I will come to some very few statistics, but one statistic is that the Berlin Airlift kept more than 2 million people alive by transporting food and other crucial goods. And certainly, you know some of these famous pictures I'd like to show you now. First of which is a picture of the airfield of Tempelhof, which was the former US airfield in the south of Berlin. What you can see there is the DC-3 Dakotas loaded, up, unloaded. You can see the trucks and the loading of these, unloading and loading of these goods were made by hand. So they didn't have some forklifts. Everything was done by people, and the machinery was just a minimum. What is very interesting when we started this project was that we found out it wasn't only a military operation, but it started with a private initiative. There were some pilots who realized that starting with the blockade, something had to be done because the citizens of Berlin were they were not starving, but the times were quite bad, and the stocks were running down. And they knew if they wouldn't do anything, there would be the alternative that Berlin would fall to the Russians, or the people would starve. So they just flew, and they just took some foods with them, potatoes, wheat, something they could grab. And the first planes which flew to Berlin were the planes of private airlines. After this started, and nobody knew when it would end, the military organization knew that they had to do something. Berlin Airlift is not just the Berlin Airlift in the western part of Germany and the western part of Berlin, but it was a worldwide operation. I found a very nice map showing that even planes coming from Manila, from Guam, from Shanghai were on their way via the US, leaving the US via the Azores to Casablanca and Frankfurt. What you can see here is the routes of the planes surrounding the former Soviet Union. The reason for that is quite obvious. There were no way to go to the east side around the Soviet Union. They had to take all the way through the Midway Island and the way through the United States to come to Berlin. It was a real worldwide operation. The citizens of Berlin are quite famous for their humor, and very soon they found out that the sound of the DC-3 and DC-4s is the sound of freedom. This is the sound they needed to survive. And I will tell you something about Mr. Gerhard Halvorsen. When they knew that these DC-3s and DC-4s are just their flying helps and their flying angels, they called them the raisin bombers because they were loaded with food. And later on, they were called the candy bombers because of the action Gerhard Halvorsen did. Now he is the real hero, one of the many thousand heroes we had, Gerhard Halvorsen. He was a pilot who saw all these ruins, and during a phase where he wasn't active, he took a car and we went through Berlin, and he was asking himself, where all are all these peoples living, and where are all these children? And at the fence, he saw these children staying around. Some of them had no shoes, others were worn out clothes. And he grabbed into his pocket, and the only things he had was, I think, two chewing gums. And he handed these chewing gums over to the children, and they very, very carefully divided these two chewing gums into small and smallest pieces, so that every child could get one of these delicious goods. And he was really he was hit because of this. Happy children, happy because they had a little tiny piece of chewing gum. And then he said to himself, "I have to do something. I have to do it. It's not only The elder people, we have to they have to survive. We have to do something for the children, because this is the next generation we have to live and we have to work with. And then he had an idea to collect handkerchiefs and to produce out of these handkerchiefs little parachutes with chocolates. And when he flew into Berlin, he threw out these little chocolate bars, and the children were just waiting for him. And he became a real hero in Berlin, and he is very, very well known. Peter had a chance to meet him 2 years ago in Wiesbaden, and I think he can tell a real great story when he met him in 1906 in 2016. Gail is our patron saint of the project, and he will turn 99 in 2019. So hopefully he will come to Germany. Well, when the children found out that this good guy is Mr. Gail Halvorsen, they sent tons of postcards and letters to him, saying that he shouldn't be anxious, that times are so bad. He just should fly and fly and fly, and all his colleagues should fly. The Berlin citizens would be prepared to go through these bad times, but they are convinced that he and his colleagues would help them, and they did until the end. Happy children. We had the chance to meet a few of these happy children. They are now in the age of 76 to 80. We met an elder man who had no parents, and he was sent via the airlift from Berlin to a small airfield, a Royal Air Force airfield in Jagel. He was sent to some farmers who gave him some food, and after 1 year he was sent back to Berlin. And all these little stories we heard and we were told, they gave us a real goosebump feeling, which was just great. So we said, it's not only a historic event we want to remember, but it's this very special airlift spirit we have to remember, and what people can do when they have to stay together and to help each other. And this is not just only a question of humanity, but a question of the human side of beings. I don't want to bother with you with too many statistics, but just three figures. When the Berlin airlift started in 1948, there was no blueprint called how to organize an airlift. There was no advice how to make an airlift. This was an initiative done by young pilots in the age of 23 to 25. It was just done. It has been done, and then it turned out this might become a real long airlift. And by deciding and acting, they were able to help these 2 million citizens of Berlin. 2 million citizens, 1 year, with 2 million tons of relief goods, and with a total number of more than 270 in-flights, which means by doubling, 540,000 flights to end the Berlin's airlift successfully, which are numbers we have never seen after this. My friend Peter and my friend Jörg, we met in summer 2016, and we love these DC-3s because from time to time we have some static line jumps in Normandy. And after one of these wonderful events, we met, and you know that every great story starts with a good drink, and we had this great drink and said, well, the return of the candy bobbers might be, this might be a good idea, because in 2019 we will have the 70th jubilee, and this could be the a good idea to bring back the candy bombers to Germany and to Berlin. What is the goal of the Berlin Airlift we want to revive? We want to revive the special humanitarian spirit of the Berlin Airlift and bring back a public and a physical hands on the airlift at the original airfields of that time, which are Erbenheim in Wiesbaden, which is Fassberg in Lower Saxony, and Jagel in Schleswig-Holstein. And at the end, we want to, well, we are discussing this. At least we want to pass over Tempelhof and the center of Berlin. When we started the project Berlin, bringing back the Raisin Bombers to Berlin, instantly Peter called some of his friends, his pilot friends, and within a few days we had about 5 to 10 planes, and today we have over 40 of these historic aircrafts with over 200 crew members who will come to Germany to join us. And Berlin Airlift will be not only an air show, but an event which will last at least for 9 days, and we'll visit five of these original historic airfield in six German regions, which will be at that time the biggest air show event in Germany. Sorry, going back. So what will we do? We have decided that it's not only the flying in a row is the important thing, but what we want to show is how the airlift has been planned, how it has been organized. We want to show the younger generations all these obstacles they were facing. These were old planes with a tonnage of, I think, 3 or 4 tons, so they had to fly and fly and fly to keep the Berlin surviving. And we want to make clear that initiative is crucial for this, to act, to show courage, and we want to show the planes. So what we want to reach is an airlift to touch. Everybody can see the planes, everybody can touch the planes, and we are allowed to fly in a very low distance, at a height of about 1,000 to 1,200 feet, which is really low. So we can nearly see the pilots flying the planes. And it will be a public event with flight demonstrations. We want to show scenic flights around the regions of Wiesbaden and Fassberg and Berlin at the end. We intend to have two candy drops at Gatow and Tempelhof. And we are working very closely together with CARE and with schools in Berlin. We have a special part in the project for younger people and pupils. They will be advised by students of the Technical University of Wildau. The Technical University of Wildau has invited roughly about 1,000 pupils from Berlin to join the exhibition at the airfield of Schönhagen, which was very close to Berlin. So a hands-on project, a really hands-on project. And like the historic Berlin airlift in 1948, next year a lot of planes will come from all over the world. We have some 20 DC-3 comings from the US. They fly the routes via Canada, Greenland, Iceland to South England. They will be part of another event, and then from there they gather in Wiesbaden for the first time, which is the former Clay Airfield, which is the Clay Airfield where the Berlin Airlift started in 1948. We even have a confirmation from two Russian DC-3, and this, what we believe, is one of the greatest achievement we could reach until today. With the at the end, we hope to have about 40 of these very nice planes, which gives us the chance to organize a real airlift row, which means when the first DC-3 lands in Berlin, the last one will start in Fassberg with the time interval of about 30 seconds to 1 minute. Peter will give you some details on that. And we are quite proud to have organized this, and this will be a once in a lifetime chance to see the Berlin Airlift. And this will happen in a height of about 1,000 to 1,200 meters. The timetable, whether we start in Wiesbaden on June 10th on the Clay Airfield in Erbenheim, we are guests of the US Army, which is really a great partner. We have got open doors and red carpets, and they are just great guys. I have to point to stress this because it's unbelievable the support we receive from the US Army and the US Air Force. On June 12th, we will leave Wiesbaden for Fassberg, and we will have some scenic flights up to Jagel, which is the former RAF airfield. And there will be what they, an exhibition of the Deutsche of the Bundeswehr on the June 15, and we will be a central part of this exhibition. They would show the transportation facilities of the German Air Force and the historic bridge from the Berlin Airlift in 1948 until today, and the relief transportation the Bundeswehr is doing today. On June 15, we will go to Berlin, which will be the highlight of the project. And at the time being, we are in very fruitful discussions with the governing mayor of Berlin, and hopefully we can do some very interesting things at Tempelhof. Wait and see. Since 2016, we have got a great support from several sides, from universities, from the German authorities, from small and medium-sized companies, from museums, and especially from Embry-Riddle, to point this out. And since a few weeks, we are part of an initiative called the German-American Year 2018-19, Wunderbar Together, which was initialized by the German Foreign Ministry. And one of the lead sponsors we have since not the beginning of the project, but very very soon, is Total in Germany, which are supporting this project in an incredible way. This is a part of Peter, so I'm going back to this. So I would like to finish my part here, and I think there are many, many questions. What I see now is what we can do afterwards. We have time enough to go all through your questions, and thanks you for your patience.